Jake Sully?
I'd like to talk to you about a fresh start on a new world. You'd be making a difference.
Hey, and welcome to episode 19 of the Super Podcast. I'm Super Mushy, as usual, because it's my podcast, and this is a bit of a different show. So what I've actually done is I've decided to do a show about Avatar, as it's the biggest movie of the moment, and quite possibly going to be one of the highest grossing movies ever. So what I've actually done is I've got different people involved for Avatar discussion and review. So I've got it in three rounds, so basically you can sit back, relax, and enjoy, and hopefully you'll get something out of it. And if you haven't seen Avatar, maybe this will convince you to watch it, or if you've seen it, you might get some different insights into it. So yeah, I'll let you sit back and listen to the show. All right, this is round one of what are we talking about? Avatar. We're going to talk about Avatar.
Avatar.
That's Matt's nickname. well, anyway, I'll introduce who is with me. There is Matt Denton, who wants to be known as Cock and Stufer. I think
that's
I said that wrong.
Master Cock and Stufer.
There you go. He actually hasn't seen Avatar, but he'll just chime in randomly.
This is enough.
Thank you. And I'm sure I'm going to say this wrong. John Diagnese. Is that right?
You got it.
Veracity Nation. And I hopefully will not get this one wrong. It's Ching Yu. Am I right?
Yes, Marcy.
Yes. And I'm Marcy, and hopefully I didn't pronounce my own name wrong. Okay, so I would say, like, Avatar is the biggest movie for the last several weeks. So seems like as good a topic as any to discuss.
Yeah. It was, I saw it. I was fortunate to see it in the IMAX 3D.
Me too.
And I was blown away.
Yep.
The experience was just like no other 3D experience I've ever had in my life.
How many 3D experiences have you ever had?
Are you experienced?
Are you 3D experienced? Yeah.
Most of the 3D experiences I've had has been with those freaking red and blue glasses.
Oh, yeah.
That makes me cross-eyed. I can't tell if I'm in 3D or 2D or what the hell's going on.
Have you seen anything else with, like, this kind of 3D?
Similar is what they have at the Universal Studios. They had the Terminator experience, mm-hmm. which was in 3D. So that was definitely similar. And they you know, did one over the top. There were certain scenes where there was, like, water leaking out of a pipe, and you were actually getting squirted with water at the same time.
Yes, I remember going to Universal Studios in Florida.
Yeah.
This was 1996. I remember sitting, and then you just felt the steam down your back of your neck. And
that couldn't have been very pleasant.
Yeah. And I remember also the 3D. And actually, I think for me, I think that was a previous experience, because I don't think I have done any 3D experience since then. And was the other one was the Back to the Future ride, which was also 3D.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I did that too.
Well, I haven't done any rides in 3D, but when I was living in a town called Adelaide, they had an IMAX, which has since closed down, but they used to show like 40-minute 3D documentaries, and I went and saw a few of them, and that was probably the only kind of 3D experience I've had since Avatar. The other one was with the red and blue glasses watching Spy Kids 3D.
Yeah. that was just wrong. That was an era of 3D movie that should have been skipped.
Yes. Enough about that.
It was like when they were inventing wheels and they came up with the square wheel, and that somehow just got skipped. They needed to do that with the red and blue glasses. Yeah.
But like you, I saw Avatar at the IMAX here in Melbourne, which I think it is the third largest screen in the entire world. Yes, so that was pretty cool. But unfortunately, the actual theater itself is very cramped, and it was not very comfortable when I was sitting and watching the movie.
And
unfortunately, the glasses they give at the IMAX, they reused them, and it was kind of gross. They were a little bit dirty, and they claim to clean and sterilize them, which I highly doubt.
Oh, well, that's
so hilarious. Unfortunately, during some scenes in the movie, it was a little bit blurry, but the overall experience was pretty amazing. Like, you know, just the use of colors and things like that were just really wow.
Yeah, it seemed to me, and you know, you since you have some you know, historical experience with the 3D, it seemed to me like, you know, the previous 3D experiences that I had were where what they were doing was using the 3D as more like a gimmick.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, they just throw it in there just to say, hey, you know, we got in 3D, you know, that kind of thing. Where in this movie, it felt like you were just part of this virtual world.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than this occasional 3D event.
Having things jump at you, and it wasn't really like that. There wasn't like some big monster coming right at you to bite your head off or something. It was just...
Right. And when something like that did happen, it just felt like...
Normal.
Natural. It felt like, you know, it was just the immersion of experience rather than sitting in front of a TV and just having something pop out at you.
Yeah.
Right. My experience was I just felt like the whole, with the glasses, the movie needed, you know, you needed to wear it, because I even took the glasses off and just spent 2 minutes just to see what it was like. And it was just like a totally different world watching it without the glasses. And I don't think I could even watch it at home with a Blu-ray or anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It just would not be the same.
I don't think because I want to watch
you know,
it
with,
normally.
With the flowers, you know, with the flowers in the movie and all these other, you know, the
flowers, the holographic images of the maps and stuff.
Right. And to see it on a flat screen TV, high def TV, would just not do any justice.
Yeah, I don't think I want to watch it in 2D.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I guess if...
It just ruined the experience.
I guess if we're lucky enough to actually get a 3D TV, which are coming out later this year, we can enjoy watching the movie at home on DVD in 3D with our 3D
TV. Yeah, we talked about that on last week's show.
But have you actually seen the TV, like, in person?
I know that they have the 3D TVs, and I believe Microsoft made a statement at CES yesterday that they're going to make a push for, 3D TV integration with their solutions going on forward this year. But the thing is, for me, with the 3D TV, that, I don't know, it just, to me, a TV just doesn't do the justice that the 3D effect is trying to achieve, which to me, you know, the purpose of the 3D is to give you an immersion feeling, a sense that you're there. And the problem with the TV is that your field of view is so limited, you know, your peripheral vision is never covered with a home TV.
When I was at a convention, because I'm a massive geek, obviously, they had a 3D TV on display with the Avatar game. And I sat down and I was watching it, and I actually really felt sick. Like, I almost wanted to vomit. Just the way it was, it didn't, I don't know. It looked really cool, but at the same time, it also didn't work that well. And I'm not sure, like, if I'd want to have a 3D TV at home, and I can't imagine what I'd really want to watch in 3D.
To be honest with me, I think it's a bit too soon for 3D to come out so soon after HD, to be honest. I mean, give it a bit of time to be improved before implementing it into TVs and have it brought into houses and stuff. But, so you don't get the feeling that you're going to get sick.
Yeah, you know? But I mean, people, I was weird. They didn't really get sick watching it, but I really was getting sick. But when I actually went to the movies and watched Avatar, by the end of the movie, I had a slight headache from it, I think. But for the most part, I didn't feel sick. But in my previous experiences with 3D, like I saw this Under the Sea one, I kind of did feel a little bit sick, but that was like my first time with 3D. Maybe that was why. But Avatar just didn't have that at all. So
let me ask you this. If you didn't feel the sickness, if you can imagine that when you were playing that game or viewing it, and you didn't feel the sickness, how would you describe the difference between the experience of watching it on that TV versus the IMAX 3D experience?
Oh, there's no competition. It's
no comparison.
You know, IMAX all the way. You know, on the TV, and that was my point.
You know how you can bring home the IMAX experience? To me, the only way feasibly to do that technologically is through virtual reality glasses, where your field of view is going to be covered.
Yeah, see, with if we could watch Avatar in virtual reality, we actually discussed this
talking with some of my army buddies, because we're feeling these, you know, for soldiers out in the battlefield. We're talking about just, you know, feel how can we get display information for the soldier in a 3D, you know, it's easy to display on a flat screen, right. But when you do a curved surface where the eye can see, that is the very big challenge. How do you get the, you know, the 3D experience in a wrapped field of vision, like type of a glasses type of a...
That's what you have to do. You have to have the glasses. Now, currently, they have the glasses for the TV glasses that you put on, and there's LCD screens inside. And when you're looking at Allie Flowers from the Convert Cast, she has them. And I believe it's her. And when you wear them, you look at the LCD screen, and it's as if you're looking at a 50-inch LCD screen. So they've gotten to the point where they've got these glasses that give you the sense of viewing a large screen two-dimensionally. So the next step, you know, is to create that concave reflective surface or transmissive surface so that you're covering the field of view, which shouldn't be that much harder. And then, you know, behind it, the opaque housing to wear, and you'll be immersed in it, you know? And that to me is like something you could do at home. You know what I'm saying? If they came out with that product, that would be a great way of bringing home that 3D experience that you would have had if you go to the IMAX.
Yeah. See, the thing is, as opposed to trying
to duplicate that with a two-dimensional TV.
But the thing with the TV is that there's so many other distractions around you as well, whereas in the IMAX, there isn't, and it works better.
You're immersed.
For that. Yeah. Like, we're going to the, you know, just going back to the movie itself, like, what, for you, like, what scenes do you think worked the best, like, with the 3D? Like, that makes sense. Like, what sort of, like, what did you enjoy the most
in the movie?
For me, it was when they were flying through the air.
Yeah. I agree. On the what were those animal things, like the dragon flying bird?
Yeah,
things.
Those dragon-y things.
Like, did that make you want to fly on one of those?
I did feel a little dizzy, even myself, you know, because it just seemed so real. I got a little bit dizzy myself.
Right. It's funny you mentioned what's the best 3D scene. And one of the things that I liked about this movie is that I wasn't really able to differentiate when 3D was happening and when it wasn't.
The whole thing was 3D, I felt like I was in there,
you know, the whole time.
Yeah. But
and that's one of the things, but yeah, I'd have to say as far as the virtualization where I started feeling kind of motiony. I agree with the flying bit, the flying scenes.
But it just made you want to actually get one of those things and fly.
Yeah,
it was jump done. On it. It was just done so well. And also, I don't know if this is really a spoiler, because when you watch this movie, you're going to see this happening from the start. But the actual big end battle, that was really just amazing. And
yeah,
like the what do you call it when the mech things they had. They looked really cool.
The hovercrafts?
No. The things that the people went in, like the big robot mech
things.
Whatever you call them.
The robotics.
Yeah.
Armament.
Yeah, the thing. Especially a certain scene at the end. But I really wanted to jump in one of those and just, like, go somewhere and just smash up some stuff.
Smashing things?
Yeah.
Right, the exoskeleton. Sure. It just reminded me of Aliens when, you know.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Like, you kind of expected Ripley to come out and start doing it, but you know, she was off doing something else, and she wasn't Ripley. So.
Yeah, I talked about this. It was curious to see Sigourney Weaver like in such 150 years in the future, and she's smoking like a chimney.
Yeah, that
pissed me off, honestly. What year was it? Like, they're 150 years or something in the future, and they're smoking? Please. That was retarded.
That was pretty moronic.
That was one thing that just pissed me off, and it's like, oh my god, this doesn't make any sense.
No.
But was there actually anything that you disliked about the movie, just as a whole, aside from smoking?
Yes.
Okay, tell me.
The main thing that...
Oh, crap. Sorry.
That detracted from my enjoyment of the entire movie was the storyline, the predictable storyline. I'd say within 15 minutes I knew who the hero was going to be, what was going to happen at the end. And it was just a very predictable storyline.
Yeah, I agree.
I knew who was going to die, what was going to happen, but who
was going to wind up together, you know.
Unfortunately, the whole movie was really, really predictable, and some of the dialogue was really just cringeworthy for me, but I just find that James Cameron, unfortunately, does that with every single movie he's made.
While I love
every single movie he's done, I just find that every movie just has their really cheesy, cringy lines.
What was the most recent movie that he released?
It was Titanic 12 years ago.
Okay.
And For me, Titanic had a lot of lameness and cheese to it, but visually it's absolutely amazing. And unfortunately, it's got some really bad acting. But you kind of realize they needed a romance sort of angle, because they needed something where you could actually they could move around the whole ship and you could see everything with the ship, and a romance kind of worked. And I think with Avatar, the romance angle works because it kind of gets you to know the actual people and what their beliefs are and why certain things are so important to them, I guess.
Right, right.
But yeah, that's my that's what, you know, I sort of got from it, I guess.
A lot of people I've heard a lot of people talk about how they felt like the movie was left-leaning and a little bit tree-huggerish.
Yeah.
Did you guys get that feeling, too?
A little bit, yes.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, that's when I saw it. I was, okay, all right, so we're supposed to leave Mother Nature. It's like, where's the Greenpeace credits?
Yeah. But overall, it's not really such a bad thing to, you know, love your environment, I guess. But it did feel a little bit forced.
So yes, I'd say the storyline was
the weakest,
was the biggest detractor. Yeah. But otherwise, the whole experience made up for it.
Yeah,
and
I mean
that's what. Yeah. That's how much you realize that the 3D effect and the IMAX movie. And speaking of Ching, you had talked about the, you know, the wrapping around the head. The next time you're in an IMAX theater, take a look at the screen. You'll see that it is in parabolic in nature. It's shape. It's concave.
Yeah, I've been in those for when I watch like when there's like science or even like the nature. So I've been in it. I just said we did not have tickets for IMAX. It was backed up.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
Yeah, I bought my tickets like a week and a half before, and it was sold out. Yeah.
Yeah. Fortunately, I had a client who paid me by buying the priority ticket so that we could walk in there before everybody else and get the best seats in the house.
Yeah, we kind of like went early, lined up because there was an allocated seating. But yeah, we kind of lined up, waited so we could get really good seats. But we were like almost back row, and that was really, really good. And I'm glad that, you know, my last experience at IMAX was watching Transformers 2. And I happened to have really got excited to get to my seat that I fell up the stairs and I injured my knee. And through the whole movie, I was in excruciating pain. So not only did I find the movie painful, it was physically painful as well. But that was not a repeat experience. This was very enjoyable, and I had a really good time watching the movie. And I got to ask, because, well, he's Australian, what did you guys think of our main character played by Sam Worthington? Did you like him? Did you not like him? Did it work? What did you think?
I think he did a great job. I mean, he didn't try to be over the top, and he really was honest to the character.
Yeah, I felt like it. We're talking about the hero of the story,
right? Corporal Sully.
I felt like his acting was genuine. I didn't feel like it was a fake, like he was faking the character.
Yeah. Did you pick up on his accent?
No, I didn't. As a matter of fact, when it was funny that you mentioned that he was Australian, because I didn't even know.
You didn't realize. Maybe because I'm, you know, Australian, I know the accent really well. I could pick it up. And he was in Terminator Salvation, and that was, his Australian accent was coming through really badly in that movie. But in Avatar, obviously he's got a good dialect coach, because it wasn't as obvious,
right?
But I could still pick up bits and pieces, right? But in Terminator Salvation, it was really, really obvious.
It was obvious then, right?
Yeah.
But this time, he like Marcy had said, he really got a language coach and really, he was able to turn it off like a switch.
Either that, or he's using one of those translators from Star Trek.
But no,
where everybody speaks English.
Yeah. But, I thought he was really good, so he worked. And what did we think of Sigourney in this movie? Aside from
her characters, I always think that she does a good job when she acts.
Mm.
I like her. I like her, you know, the way she sets up the character. She it seems like she molds into, even with the comedies she does, like Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Well, she's one of my favorites.
There's a sincerity
sure.
level to the, you know, to the performance.
She's one of my favorites, and it's, you know, it's good to see her, you know, in a movie again, but also in a James Cameron movie, because the only other time she was in one was Aliens. But I liked her.
She didn't have much to work with. You know,
but she made it work though.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. And,
like I mentioned, the smoking part I just thought was a little
ridiculous.
Odd.
But that was a lot of it right there.
Yeah. You know, unless at that stage in the future they make cigarettes that don't give you cancer, then it's okay to just light up. I don't know. That They didn't really explain anything.
It's just the water vapor.
You know, she wakes up, I want my cigarettes. Calm down. Jeez.
Does she smoke in real life?
I don't know, actually. Maybe she does, maybe she doesn't.
I would say they do, because I can't imagine a non-smoker just smoking for a part.
Well, they do.
Happens. That happens. A lot of people do parts where they don't. They are practicing in a way in the movie that they definitely do not in real life.
Yeah.
But smoking? I mean, that's... Yeah.
I mean, I think I would assume that in some actors' contracts they would have like a non-smoking thing, but there are times when they're non-smokers but they've smoked for a role.
Right.
That I've heard about.
Yeah, it's possible. It's one of those smokeless, you know, those...
e-cigarettes.
Not e-cigarettes, but they do have those, you know, what are the prop cigarettes? So unless it's one of those that doesn't, you know,
dry ice or something.
Well, it's like when you see a kid smoking in a movie, you know, they're not really smoking an actual cigarette. I think, I don't know, one movie, I think they gave them tea and put it, and they were just smoking lightly tea. But yeah, I don't really know what. What they use for this or for you know, when they're not really a smoker, I don't know.
All right, that's a good question.
Speaking of Avatar, my TV is on The View, and I don't know how old this episode is, but they've actually got Sam Worthington and Sigourney Weaver on the show, which is a bit of a funny coincidence, seeing as we're talking about the movie.
Interesting.
What did you guys think of Winston? What did you think of the female? I forgot the character's name. The main female alien. What was the species called? Navi.
Navi, right?
Our female lead who he falls in love with.
Neytiri.
Neytiri.
Played by Zoe Saldana, who played Uhura in Star Trek.
Boobalicious.
Well, in real life, she's pretty hot. Well, I think she's pretty hot anyway.
Yes, I have to agree with you.
I wouldn't say no if she asked me.
That's like I told Marcy. It's like, you know, I like it when she played with her in Star Trek. I think she's definitely an up and coming actress.
Oh yeah.
There won't be many good parts for her to play in her. In her near in her long, I think she's got a long career.
Yeah, I mean, I thought she was excellent in Star Trek, but you know, considering this movie, she's
digital.
Right? You know, word I'm looking for. It was, you know, pretty.
It's hard to get a grasp on her presentation, her physical presentation.
But you know,
it's more of the intonation of her voice that's really doing it.
But it was, I mean, I thought it was fantastic. She was really good, and her characters was, you know, ended up being really likable. And
you
kind of do maybe fall in love with her a little bit. Either that or you just want to be a big blue chick. Well, when you're a girl, you want to be a big blue chick and kick ass.
If you're a guy, you just want to be with big blue chicks.
Exactly. Exactly. Because, you know, they didn't look, you know, they looked really cool. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind going to Pandora and being in Na'vi and, you know, flying those things and having fun. It looks fun, anyway. But apparently people have become depressed because Pandora is not real.
No.
Really? Seriously, yeah. I mean, I might have to...
How did they ever deal with Santa Claus?
I don't know. I'll have to post a link to the news story. I'll have to post a link to the news story, but it is actually
real. You gotta
be
kidding me.
Yeah. Apparently, the news story came out today or yesterday. I'll read it out to you. It says, Avatar Therapy, folks seeking guidance after learning Pandora isn't real. That's the headline. And there's a site, Ways to Cope with the Depression of the Dream of Pandora Being Intangible.
Unbelievable.
This is almost like people can, you know, getting depressed and having virtual funerals for when their characters die in World of Warcraft.
Yeah, exactly.
To be fair, it hit me really hard when my Tamagotchi died.
I mean, how many people are on this planet Earth? Almost 7 billion?
Yeah.
So there's got to be a few crack jobs.
Well, I'm sure there are quite a lot of them. But, yeah, it's interesting.
It's all because of misinformation.
That's so interesting, the effect this movie's having on people. And, yeah, as it's just, you know, as we're recording, it's actually become the third highest grossing movie of all time, only after a few weeks.
Wow. And how much money are they up to now?
I can't find out the actual number, but, you know, obviously it's 1 billion something.
Right.
Let me check IMDb.
Yeah.
Sometimes IMDb puts up the numbers.
Sometimes, not always. But if we can find out what it is, that would be good. And it's number 32 on IMDb's top 250. Now I'll let you talk.
But, well, I think some of that is a little bit skewed because we had to pay more for the 3D experience.
Well, that's the thing, because, I mean, I don't know how much you pay for movies over there, but here we pay a shitload of money to go to the theater.
You guys pay more just to walk outside.
Just to freaking do anything. I can't remember, because I pay less because I have a special card that allows me to pay less for a movie. I think an adult ticket, if I can actually have a quick look, I'll tell you what it is, and I think you'll just be like, yeah, they overcharge you. Let's see. Where's ticket prices? Hopefully they'll come up and I'll have something to talk about. But how much is,
come on,
like,
$25.
How much regular, just for a regular movie?
I think for us, we were paying, like, normally it's like $9 US. Jesus. But yeah, for this 3D one, we had to pay $12.
Yeah, it was like 12, and I think we paid extra because of the prior receipts, so it came to like now, 13 or 14.
Now, the Australian dollar and the US dollar, I think...
There's a difference.
There is. It's not too bad now. It's like, how much?
It's up. It's 0.91. So we're almost 90%. Yeah.
So it's pretty close anyway. Right. But okay. So right. I think an adult ticket for the cinema for a regular movie is about $16.
Wow.
And
wow.
For an IMAX ticket, it's. Just for regular IMAX, I think it is about, but it's between $18 to $21.
Wow, and Australian dollars.
Yeah,
right, and so that's almost like $20. That's almost like $20 US. That is just
$18 Australian dollars.
Yeah, and that would be
about $17.
That's $16.49.
Yeah.
And when we went to see the IMAX, they do charge more, like for the 3D. But I got ticket for me and I got my special concession card, and my boyfriend still has a student card, so I got him in as a student. And sweet. With a $1 fee for buying it online, the total cost for two tickets was $40, so we paid $19.50 each, I think. No, $19 each or $19, whatever, and then the dollar fee. So yeah, it was a big difference.
Yeah, that's $17.87 here.
And plus, I paid.
So that's about $3 more.
Yeah, and I paid. I got.
What we would pay for IMAX.
What did I get? I got a large Pepsi and a large popcorn, which cost me $12 as well.
Yeah, I won't even talk about how much we paid. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think we paid $20 just for like one big bucket of popcorn and two sodas.
Wow.
Yeah. They do. They really overcharge for the food.
I'm telling you, man, you gotta go in there with a portable microwave and pop your own corn.
Yeah.
it
doesn't
taste the same.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
The cinema popcorn just don't know. It's like so much butter and salt and can make it.
When I was working at the theater when I was younger, that was that was one of the nice perks, is that we used to get to take home bags of popcorn every night.
Well, at home I can do it the healthy way.
I don't know. Well, we did in the U.S. here. We did have a food watchdog group, and that's what they were attacking, you know, movie theater popcorn, just saying how many calories and and how much fat was in, you know.
It tastes so good.
Well, when it tastes that good, you know that it's bad for you.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, it's always interesting to see the differences between different countries and, you know, these little things.
How good is
like
the nachos?
See, we don't have nachos at the theater.
The only good thing about the nachos is the jalapeno peppers. That's about the only thing that's healthy.
But, yes, we have strayed a little off topic, but I think we've probably covered. Yeah, I mean, we've covered, like, most of the basics about the movie, which is what, you know, I wanted to
talk
about.
They're showing as of the first week of January, the USA
The numbers.
Box office summary. Yeah, box office. box office summary is showing $352 million gross for the US only.
For the US.
Wow.
But worldwide it'd be hitting like,
it's over the billion, because
it's over a billion. I remember it.
Yes,
I remember saying it's over
a billion. Titanic is sitting at a like 1.8 billion, I think, worldwide, and that's the highest grossing film of all time at the moment.
What's the name again?
Of Titanic.
Titanic is still the highest. Okay.
Yeah, that's. Wait, I think it was 1.8 billion.
Yes, this website says like 374 million domestic, foreign, 757 million, so total 1.131 billion.
Wow.
But I think it might be more than that now.
Right. This was as of the 6th of January.
So that means James Cameron has two movies in the top three of all time. Avatar and Titanic.
Yeah, Titanic. So Avatar is now number two.
So what
all time,
is
worldwide.
That's amazing.
Return of the King is number three.
Oh, okay.
Dead Man's Chest is number four, and The Dark Knight is number five.
Interesting.
I do now. You know, now I mentioned things that I found surprising. Cursing in the movie. Did you notice that? I thought it was for kids. I know in America we have the PG-13 rating, but there was quite a bit of cursing involved.
Yeah, I didn't actually
curse
notice.
So often that I didn't even realize.
Yeah, I was going to say every. You know, I swear really badly, and maybe I just didn't notice. I have a foul mouth.
But I did notice, because I saw, you know, I saw a lot of young kids at the movies, and
there wasn't really, when I saw it, there was a lot of, it was a mixed crowd, but it wasn't really young kids, so.
To be honest, I guess it's what your definition of cursing is.
No, this is definitely, I mean, Matt, there were F and S words.
Were there? I didn't
notice
the F words.
You can say them on this show.
Oh, fuck, shit, cunt.
Yeah.
Okay, there
we go. My show is down as explicit because I won't notice how bad I swear.
Does iTunes put the explicit tag on you?
Did it. So when it goes to iTunes, it says it's explicit.
Oh. Okay.
Because, yeah, when you swear as much as me, yeah, there has to be some kind of warning.
Yeah. You've got a filthy fucking mouth.
I really fucking do.
Oh.
But actually, one thing before we like wrap it up, one thing I wanted to actually ask you about was our main bad guy, I forgot what his name was. I have to look it up again.
The Marine Colonel.
The Marine. Yes, our Colonel Miles, I think. Played by Stephen Lang. What did you guys think of him? Was he just a little bit too cliched, or did you think that everything played off him well, or what did you think about him?
Well, I think his character
pissed me off, so I think
it worked.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like in the final fight scene, you know,
I was glad to have him.
Yeah, it took two spears to kill him. And I was like, what is it going to take to kill this guy? You know, I was so glad, you know. And then when they broke the windshield, he's breathing it as if, you know, nothing's happening. And this guy is just like...
But they're not supposed to be able to breathe that air. But, you know, he can survive it somehow.
Right.
It was a bit... It was over the top, but it kind of worked anyway. But, yeah, I really wanted to just beat the shit out of him through the whole movie. But I think, yeah, that was the whole point, I think.
That's how you know.
Yeah,
that's how you know he's a good job
playing the villain.
But, yeah, the actor Stephen Lang, he did a really good job, I thought.
Yeah.
But, definitely. Yeah, the character was just a little bit obvious, I guess, would be the word. But, yeah, it was still fun. It worked for the movie. So, all right, before we wrap it up, I'll get you guys to give it a score out of 10. So, whoever just wants to jump in, give it a score out of 10. Go.
Bitches and hoes.
Matt Denton rates it bitches and hoes.
Yeah, I give it a 9 minus 1 point for smoking and some cursing, but I thought it was inappropriate for children.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. That makes perfect sense.
Are we allowed to use decimals?
You may, if you wish.
I would say 8.9.
And
almost there, but not even a 9 because of the predictability.
Yeah.
And the poor character that Sigourney Weaver had to play.
Well, on my blog, when I do my reviews, I do it out of 5. And I gave it 4 out of 5. So if it was out of 10, it would be 8 out of 10. And it was pretty much, you know, the same reasons that you had, and the whole, you know, thing with the smoking was just stupid. But, yeah, I explained my reasons. But, yeah, I mean, overall, it's an experience like no other. It's probably the most amazingly visual film I've ever seen.
Definitely.
And
definitely agree 100%.
Yeah. But, for round one of my Avatar podcast, I think that's a wrap. And it was nice to have two people I've never had on the show come on the show, and Matt chiming in every so often.
Well, it was Tourette's nice to boy. Be here.
Yes, Matt the Tourette's boy.
Yeah. And, of course, you guys are welcome back anytime.
Thanks for having
us. Be nice to talk to you again about something else.
Absolutely, there's going to be plenty of movies.
Oh yeah, hopefully 2010 is a good year for movies.
I have yet to see 2012.
I don't want to see that movie. I refuse to see
it. You do not want to see that one.
It looks shit. I don't want to see it.
I'm going to watch it at home.
it looks like the effects are good, but everything else just looks shit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but...
To be honest, I can't wait till December 23rd, 2012 to see it in real life.
Oh, yeah. It's so going to happen.
It's going to be as exciting as the December 31st of the year 1999.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, no, I just think that movie looks so bad. Yeah. And what's his name? Roland Emmerich has not made a decent movie since, I got to be honest, I would say Stargate. Independence Day wasn't that good.
Oh, which character was that?
That's the director I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
He directed Stargate. He directed Independence Day. He directed Universal Soldier. He directed Godzilla, which was so bad.
I didn't like Universal Soldier either.
Oh, I love Universal
Soldier. Did you?
Oh, yeah.
That's what that guy that played Vlad or whatever in Rocky, right?
Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren and Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Claude.
You know, that's like my guilty pleasure.
In front of Marcy. She'll just go crazy.
Oh, she goes gaga over him?
Yeah. Yes. This is my ultimate action star. But, yeah, Universal Soldier, and I just watched the new one. It's my guilty pleasure. So, Yes. Anyway, I won't turn this into a love fest for Van Damme or anything, but yeah, I'll thank you guys for coming on the show, and yeah, it's been good. I think we covered some really good topics.
Yeah.
Yeah. We even got to talk about 3D TV and everything. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was fun.
So, yeah, end of round one. I don't know how to wrap it up.
I became a Marine for the hardship. I told myself I can pass any test a man can pass. All I ever wanted was a single thing worth fighting for.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are not in Kansas anymore. You are on Pandora.
So this is round two of the Avatar discussion, and I'm joined by my good buddy who I just refer to as being a terrible Australian. So welcome, Bede the Terrible Australian. Yay!
Yes, yes. I saw All About Steve recently, and yes, that does make me a terrible Australian.
Yes, it does. Why would you watch that garbage for?
I saw it on a plate, so...
Oh, that's an excuse, I suppose.
Yes,
well, slept
so, I was already in a bit of agony anyway, so I just thought I'd watch something that will also give you pain and agony.
You wanted to just torture yourself.
Oh, you'd be surprised. I've seen my fair share of bad movies where even I have to go back and thinking, you know, I could have, you know, my life would have been better without that movie.
Yeah. But speaking of which, is your life better now that you've seen Avatar?
Do you mean, did the movie change my life completely?
Yes.
I wouldn't say it's changed my life completely, but I will say it is a true cinematic experience.
I would have to agree with you there, but hasn't made you want to, like, become a Na'vi creature? Like, apparently some people really want to actually become these things, and they, like, need therapy over the fact that they're not real. You're not at that stage, are you?
No, but I would like to fuck one.
Well, apparently people want porn, so we'll put you in that group.
But especially I forgot which character did Zoe Saldana play in Avatar?
I cannot pronounce her name, but I mean I can't pronounce the actress's name because I don't say it right. I can't remember what her character's name is, and on I think my round one discussion I couldn't remember it either. So yes,
we'll just call it the Blue Lady.
So our main blue chick.
What's that?
I said the main blue chick.
Main blue chick.
Yeah.
I'll find out.
I'm trying to look it up on IMDb, but it's not loading. Neytiri.
Neytiri. Yeah, Neytiri. I got IMDb on now on the casting bit, so I can remember the character.
Yeah, I'll just leave the page up so I don't forget anything. So did you see this just at a cinema, or did you go IMAX, or what were your options?
I only saw it just on a normal, regular screen because, like, the nearest cinema to me at the moment is, like, 3 hours away.
Okay, lucky.
So I went there, and unfortunately they were only showing the 2D version.
Oh, okay.
So that was the only opportunity I got to say. But even if I didn't, even not having seen the 3D version, even the 2D version is just absolutely amazing.
Well, if you ever get a chance to see it in 3D... I think it'll probably blow you out of the water. And it's interesting getting a... Start again. It's interesting to get a perspective on someone that didn't see it in 3D.
Mm. Well, a friend of mine's already seen it in 3D, and he thought it was even... It's amazing, and I'm just absolutely jealous of him.
Yeah, you should be jealous of me. I saw it on IMAX, and Melbourne's got the third largest screen in the world.
Did you see an IMAX?
Yeah, IMAX, Melbourne, third largest screen in the world.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I should, like, move my fan because I think it's muffling the microphone. As we're recording this, Australia is going through a bit of a heat wave, and it's like 43 degrees Celsius where I am, and that's 109 degrees Fahrenheit. So can imagine that it's, you know, it's quite warm.
It's probably, I don't know what it is in my end, but mind you, I'm out like in the country, so it's probably like 44, 45 degrees.
Yeah.
Just to give you an idea, it's like at 9 o'clock this morning, it was like 30 degrees. So that kind of gives you an idea how hot it is today.
Yeah, it's very warm. But back to the movie. Did you actually want to go live on Pandora?
Did I want to go? Well, I know there are a lot of people who are at the moment absolutely upset that there isn't a Pandora.
Yeah, they must have thought it was real. They thought this was a documentary. Clearly, these people need therapy. Like, it's no wonder they're in therapy. But
I don't know who's more scary, those people who think Pandora is real or Twilight fans. I don't know.
It's kind of creepy. But in all honesty, did you think, like, the sort of world that was created, did you think, wow, I'd like to hang out there, or was it just like, yeah, it's just another movie set piece?
Oh, no. The world of Pandora was just absolutely amazing. I mean, well, like, sitting there just watching the film, and it just really amazes me. Like, whenever, like, Jake Sully or any characters are walking through the jungle, it just amazed me that the entire jungle is CG.
But it looks real.
The plants... Yeah, but it looks so real. Like when
it's all very realistic.
Brushing,
yeah,
when they walk past plants and they brush them, it's like the movement of the plants and the texture, and it just looks absolutely real.
That it's not real. And, like, the characters themselves, they look real. You can't tell that they're not actually real. And, like, certain scenes really worked well in 3D, but you didn't get to see it in 3D. But, like, when they're in the, whatever you want to call it, the jungle, and all those white things are falling around them and they all attach themselves to Jake, that kind of thing in 3D really worked. Like, it looked really amazing. And, like, the other scenes, like the action scenes and the flying scenes, and you just wanted to jump on one of those creatures and fly around. And that in 3D was unbelievable. I can't imagine watching it in 2D. But
Even just in, because like I said, it's like I only seen the 2D version, and even for me, just the 2D version is just mighty impressive. Mm. Like it's a film that works even without the 3D. Like I'm sure, like I'll admit, if I saw the 3D version right now, I'd say that the 3D version is way better than the 2D version. But even just for me personally, having just only seen the 2D version, it's pretty damn impressive, and it still immersed me into this world that is Pandora.
Yeah, I mean, like, from what, you know, like, I haven't seen many things in 3D. I've just seen, like, short docos and whatnot. But the movie didn't use it as a gimmick, like, to throw things at your face and to make you jump or anything. It didn't have any of that. So I think that kind of probably would make it an easy transition to 2D and 3D because it doesn't have that crap. Like,
I agree.
I mean, what I'm going to compare it to, obviously this movie has nothing on this, but it was obviously a gimmick for the movie, and it's a bit silly watching it without 3D because it doesn't work. And I'm talking about Jaws 3D, right? watching that normally, there's all these gimmicks and really bad effects that were meant for 3D. But when you watch it normally, it doesn't work and it seems even stupider. Mm. Like, whereas, you know, it's not so much of a gimmick for this movie, but it's just more that, this is how he intends you to watch it kind of thing.
Yeah.
To really bring you into the world that he's created. But you can also watch it in 2D, but you might not get the same experience.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I've another good comparison is just another 3D movie that came out last year would be My Bloody Valentine 3D.
Yeah, don't kill me, but I haven't seen it, 2D or 3D. Not that I don't want to. I said I haven't seen it, not 2D or 3D. And it's not that I don't want to see it. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah. Well, I watched it on – I never saw it in the cinemas. And you know what's funny, though? That same cinema that's showing Avatar – oh, wait a minute. They did show My Bloody Valentine in 2D. Sorry, mistake. I saw My Bloody Valentine on Blu-ray, and I watched it on 3D and that with the glasses and everything.
Do you have, like, the red and blue glasses, or do they give you something
else?
Oh,
it's the crappy blue and red glasses.
Yeah.
I would have preferred like the normal, like the ones that they've got now, like the normal, really cool 3D glasses they got now. But unfortunately, when you buy the movie on DVD or Blu-ray, they only give you those crappy glasses.
Yeah.
But like I have a pretty big TV, but even though I really liked My Bloody Valentine in 3D, it would have been much better if I did see it in the cinema. And that's the difference between, for me, that movie and Avatar, is like you said before, like Avatar is a film where it doesn't play its 3D as a gimmick. Like you can watch it in 2D and it doesn't feel like they're throwing shit at you saying, oh, this is a 3D movie and you're watching it in 2D, blah, blah, blah. They're throwing like arrows or bullets or trees falling on you and stuff like that. But with In My Bloody Valentine, it's definitely a gimmick because they're throwing pickaxes at your head.
Yeah.
But with Avatar, it's like James Cameron, he wanted to make a film that can be viewed both in 3D and 2D without it being gimmicky. And that's what I think really works for film as well. So because it works both mediums.
Yeah. What I think he wanted to do just overall was to create a world that you could just immerse yourself in. And I think he did that perfectly well. And it's really hard to floor a movie like this because it's just so much fun. It's really great. You fall in love with it. But, you know, I've said this once, I've said it so many times, but what floors the movie is the script and the dialogue and some of the silly things that he's put in it. And in my round one discussion, we all really didn't like this, and other people I've spoken to did not like this either, and they thought it was stupid and out of place, was the fucking smoking. It's 150 years in the future. Surely we wouldn't be smoking by now. But the first thing she does when she wakes up, Sigourney wants a ciggy. I'm sorry, but that's retarded.
I've forgotten that part was even in the movie, it never really occurred to me.
Sliding up, and it's like, this just is ridiculous. But I got to say, like, some of the dialogue is really corny. There's so much that's cliched, and you know exactly every little plot point of this movie from the start. You know where it's going. It's awfully predictable. But at the same time, the predictability, it doesn't really ruin it for you because you know it's going in that way, but you kind of want it to go that way because you know what's going to happen with Jake, and you just, you know, you want him to actually have that happen because obviously his character's fallen in love with this place and you don't want him to betray the people. You know, you want the military guys to just get their asses handed to them for being assholes. And, you know,
exactly.
But some of the scripting and, you know, some of the dialogue, it was cringeworthy. And, you know, originality, you know, the story obviously is something that's been done so many times. Everyone says, you know, it's Dances with Wolves, it's Pocahontas, it's Fern Gully. But, you know, at least James Cameron decided to, you know, he did his own thing. You know, whenever he wrote at 95 or whatever, he went and he wrote something, even though, you know, certain things might not be that original. At least he's not remaking crap. You know, it's not a remake. It is still something that's original. At least he's gone and done that. Whereas, you know, there's so many movies coming out of fucking remakes and, you know, da-da-da, and at least he's tried to do something, you know, somewhat original and put it in, you know, at least the whole, you know, the species he's created, the worlds he's created, it's all very original. We haven't seen anything like it. So, you know,
exactly.
For its flaws, you know, it's not like they ruin the movie in any way. They're just, you know, certain things that, you know, maybe if they had been improved upon, the movie for me would have been a 5 out of 5. But I gave it, you know, 4 out of 5. But, you know, little things didn't make it as great as it could have been, but, you know, still a heck of a movie. And I really do, you know, I really do love the movie. So don't get me wrong. It's a good movie. It's a good, you know, cinematic experience.
I absolutely love the film. It's probably like to me, it is a 5-star movie. And I think I agree with you. Like, it's the story to Avatar is not the most original story. Like, even if you walk into this movie and you know from the very beginning where the story is going to go, like I could have told you exactly what's going to happen in this movie within the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And, but the thing is, like, I wouldn't say the dialogue was bad, but times it can be kind of cheesy. But then again, yeah. You know, but James Cameron hasn't written, like, great dialogue before, so.
No, that seems to be just an ongoing thing. Like, Titanic had some really bad dialogue and had a weak love story, but at least I thought with the love story in this, it was a lot stronger when you compare it to the love story in Titanic.
And I just thought, I think they were both equally kind of strong.
I thought the acting was a lot better in Avatar. I just didn't think that Titanic had the best acting from the two leads because they've done so much better stuff now.
Well, I don't know. I still think Kate should have won that Oscar, but that's just me.
Well, I'm sorry, but Helen Hunt won that year, and I just think she's terrible. And I would have given it to Kate over her. I'm sorry. If anyone likes As Good As It Gets, I just don't. Not a big fan of that movie.
I like As Good As It Gets. Like, I'm not a huge Helen Hunt fan, but I thought she was good in As Good As It Gets.
Yeah, I didn't think it was an Oscar-winning performance, but, I thought Jack was a lot better anyway. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
But, back to Avatar.
Back to Avatar.
Like, but even though it's, like, not the most original story and it has not the best dialogue ever, but James Cameron still knows how to make it compelling, even if you have seen that kind of story over and over again.
And he goes for things that he knows a lot of people are going to like and enjoy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's not a dumb man.
It's escapism.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I can sit and enjoy the movie. You know, despite the flaws, I can still enjoy it. You know, I just get over, you know, some of the little bits and pieces. But, you know, if I watch it again, which I really would like to watch it again, you know, I'll probably still enjoy the shit out of it. And, you know, once I've gotten over those flaws that I've mentioned, you know, flaws for me personally, I probably won't even be much of a big deal because, you know, I've discussed it, I've gotten over it, I can just, you know, get on with it kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, it is visually probably, like, the, you know, the best visual movie that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's just phenomenal.
It's just amazing to look at.
Mm.
And the fact that the entire world, it was done in a computer, just makes it even more impressive.
Yeah, because it looks so real. Like, you can't tell that it's not real. You know, maybe that was part of the reason why these people thought it was real. You know, they thought it was a documentary. But, you know, I thought, like, it was a really well-acted movie as well. Like, everyone was really good, and I really love Sam Worthington. And, you know, it's always good to see fellow Aussie making it big in the movies, especially someone as talented as him.
Yeah, I agree, because, like, I've been sort of following Sam Worthington's career for, like, years now. I think the first thing I ever saw him in was Dirty Deeds.
Dirty Deeds, yeah. Good movie. And he's really
good.
Yeah,
and I've seen him in... Yeah, he's really good in that, and I've seen him in, like, you know, other films like Bootman and Somersault and Rogue, just a couple of other Australian films, and just to see him, like, to star in a big... Like, with this and also Terminator Salvation, and him starring in the lead roles of these two very big kind of blockbuster movies, it just makes me proud to be an Australian and seeing, especially, like, an Australian actor that, like, outside of Australia, nobody's ever heard of is, like, the lead in these two big tentpole releases.
But I got, like, I mentioned this in my other segment, which obviously you weren't there for, so I can say it again, and whoever's listening, you can hear me say it again. That from Terminator Salvation to this, his Australian accent, like, it comes through. I could still hear it in Avatar, but it wasn't as obvious as it was in Terminator Salvation, where I thought it was really obvious and coming through quite a lot. He's improved a lot to get down the American accent. I mean, you could still hear the Aussiness in it, but it wasn't as bad. Like,
It's not, like, it's noticeable, but it doesn't, like, you know, stick out like a sore thumb.
I think that because we're Australian, we would notice it more than someone who wasn't. I think there's also that as well. But, you know, like, just with the acting as well, just in the movie, like, Zoe Thingy, you know, she's a CG character through the whole movie, but she puts on, like, this fucking awesome performance.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know... She's just amazing. Like, I thought she was great in Star Trek and this. Like, you know, she's just going to keep getting better, I think. And she, she's done some smart, she's made some smart decisions, doing Avatar and doing Star Trek, picking those really good roles. So hopefully she continues the trend.
And she was also in the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie, so.
Yeah, I remember she was in that, but I'm not a big fan of the series.
No. But, yeah, it's just like her character is just an entire CGI character, and there's only, like, I'd put, her character in Avatar just up there with, like,
Gollum,
Pete Jackson's King Kong character or Gollum.
Well, I was thinking more like Gollum
Where they, even though they're CGI characters, like they're, the performance from the actual actors who play them is able to shine through.
Yeah.
Into a character.
Yeah. But, you know, even, like everyone else, I just thought, you know, even like the smaller roles, like, Giovanni Ribisi, he was good. Like, he played the sort of dickhead character pretty well. And Michelle Rodriguez is pretty cool.
He plays he plays Burke Part 2.
Who?
Burke Part 2. From Aliens.
Oh, yeah, right, Aliens. I was thinking, like, what? No, when you say Aliens, yes. And, like, Stephen Lang just plays the biggest asshole, and it's, like, the most cliched character ever as the Colonel dude.
Yeah.
But, you know, he does it so well. Like, he kind of just does his own thing, and, yeah, it's pretty good.
Stephen Lang was awesome.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. Yeah. Like, you wanted to just beat the shit out of the bastard.
Yeah, like, even though the character was kind of a one-note character, but still he was kind of like the kind of colonel you just would not want to fuck with.
Yeah, and you also just want to kick his ass.
Exactly. And I really love, there's this really cool scene in the movie, and spoilers for anyone who's listening, that I thought it was completely badass. It's the scene where Jake and the others, they try to escape from the base.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, mind you, Pandora, humans cannot breathe on Pandora.
No, but somehow he can.
Oh, no, he couldn't. Like, he held his breath when he
went
outside.
Yeah, but he holds it for, like, 10 minutes, and it's like, what? He's got superhuman strength.
Like, the guy behind it's like, sir, you got to have your mask on. And he just walks out the front door, holds his breath, and he just starts shooting down
tries
to shoot down the plane.
Yeah, it's insane. He's just a little bit too badass, I think.
It was just awesome. I thought that. And also later on in the movie, his mecha, his the robot soldier that he drives. It has a sword on it.
Yeah, those things were awesome. I want one. I just want to get in one and just destroy the city Hulk style.
Yeah,
it'd be so much fun.
I just really liked it. I guess in some way, James Cameron was, I guess, kind of paying homage or making somewhat kind of references to past movies. Like, I mean, the actual mecha robots kind of look like the autoloaders from the loaders from Aliens, and even the helicopters and all that even look like the ships from Aliens. Mm. I mean, this has they're making references and all that.
Yeah, well, he did put Sigourney in it as well. Really cool. We did have Ripley, although not quite as Ripley, but she was still there. But
Michelle Rodriguez.
No, the Sigourney Weaver, I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
But
I love Sigourney Weaver.
If you don't love her, there's something wrong with you, because she's awesome.
Exactly.
But, I mean, as we're recording, and I think this might have still been the case, or it just was, the news was just coming out when I did the other segment, which was earlier than this one, was that it is now the second highest grossing film of all time, and it's only been out for like 3 or 4 weeks. So James Cameron has the two top highest grossing films of all time being this and Titanic, which is still at number one.
And you know what this means now that James Cameron has two of the highest grossing movies
of
all time?
He
is now officially the king of the world.
I'm the king of the world. As long as he doesn't proclaim that at the Oscars again, because that was very cringeworthy.
Well, he can say it now, because he is now officially the king of the world. Just start making a crap for him, people.
Yeah, but the thing is, what you got to look at, too, is that the reason that this has made as much money as it has, and if you look at it in comparison to Titanic, is that cinema prices for tickets have gone up significantly in 12 years. Mm. Not only that, But you're paying more to see this in 3D and even more to see it in IMAX. So it's not really a surprise that, you know, it is raking in the money, but we are paying more for tickets. And, you know, it is also in 3D and IMAX where you pay more again. So you have to take that in consideration as well. But, you know, would it have been so successful without the 3D and the IMAX? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. We'll never know. But James Cameron, not an idiot. He's a smart dude. Yeah. I mean, so many people, this is not going to make its money back. Hey?
James Cameron always kicks ass.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't hate any of his movies. I love all of his movies. But,
He has never made a bad movie, well, except for Piranha 2, but that's only because I haven't seen it. So
I haven't really seen it either, but we'll ignore that in his filmography. Yeah,
well, I think, but in Cameron's praise, in his own words, it's the best flying Piranha movie ever made.
I'm sure it is. But, you know, I even like The Abyss, and people don't really like that movie that much.
I like The Abyss. I actually bought the DVD the other day, and I really want to watch the director's cut of it.
Yeah, I want to get it on DVD as well. I don't have it yet.
Yeah.
But,
I love all his movies, even though True Lies, I guess, is kind of the weakest one, but it still kicks ass.
It's still an awesomely fun movie. But
yeah, it's definitely his lightest movie.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's just funny how people were going, oh, this isn't going to make its money back, but it's made its money back and then some. Like,
it's just like Titanic.
They said the same thing about Titanic, and look what happened there. Yeah. But, you know, all of his movies, he wants to do something new and fresh and do stuff that people haven't done before. And, you've got to praise him for, you know, trying to do something different.
Exactly.
And to be original, to, you know, try and give people something, you know, different and, you know, really good effects and all that kind of crap.
Yeah. I guess it sort of, you have to think about now is like when James Cameron makes another movie in another 20, 30 years time.
Yeah. When the effects have improved.
will it be like the third highest grossing movie of all time?
Well, will he just keep making lots and lots of money? I don't know.
But, you know, with this now, both Titanic and Avatar making a huge amount of money, he doesn't even have to work ever again. But I think he wants to.
I mean, there's
talks
of like a Hiroshima movie now for him, but I'm not sure what's going to happen there. Who knows? Yeah.
Because I've never seen the original anime, but I think he wanted to do one called Battle Angel Attila, I think, as his next movie.
Haven't heard.
Yeah, well, it's one of the many films that he has on his plate. But,
yeah, I mean, who knows what's going to happen, really.
Yeah. I just hope James Cameron brings out another movie in a couple of years' time, because I don't want to wait another.
Yeah, I don't want to wait 12 years again. So, yes, in closing for round two of the Avatar discussion... I have to say one thing.
For James Cameron, he has to make Aquaman.
Yeah, that would be kick off. James Cameron's Aquaman.
It has to star Vinny Chase.
Yeah, it can't star anybody else but Vinny Chase, even though he looks nothing like Aquaman.
Exactly.
Yes. So yeah. In closing, two thumbs up for Avatar.
Thumbs up.
I can't really think of
anything
witty to say.
And even more thumbs up if Aquaman gets made.
Yeah, even more, we'll put something else up. Zing! Well, thank you for joining me for a shorter discussion. Usually our discussions go a lot longer, but this is a, what should we call it? I don't know. This is, I can't think of a word, so yeah. This is just different segment show, so they can't go for too long. That was weird. Okay. So this is round two coming to a close. So, yes, thank you for joining me. And, for the next time we do a podcast, make sure you watch a really bad movie so I can still call you terrible.
Of course. I'll keep my word to that, Marty.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
You should see your faces.
We have an indigenous population called the Na'vi. They are very hard to kill.
This is why we're here. Because this little gray rock sells for 20 million a kilo. Their village happens to be resting on the richest deposit, and they need to relocate. Those savages are threatening our whole operation. We're on the brink of war, and you're supposed to be finding a diplomatic solution.
Okay, so this is round three of the Avatar podcast, and my final guest is Mr. Steven.
Greetings.
Steven, otherwise known as Big Bada Boomba from Empire. And whatever other names you're known as on the World Wide Web.
People know me. I think Big Bada Boomba makes me sound fat.
Yes, but you're not fat. You are very fit and in shape.
Yes, I am.
We just have to clarify that. If people don't believe you, they can go just look at your photos on Facebook or Twitter or wherever they are.
Or yes, they're everywhere.
Yeah. You whore yourself out on the internet.
I do, actually.
Moving right along, obviously you're here to discuss some Avatar, seeing as it's the big movie of probably the last 3 weeks since it came out.
It has been, yes.
So, like, just basically, after you saw it, how did you feel about it after you just had seen it, which I believe you saw it Christmas night?
Boxing Day. After Christmas. Yeah, the day after Christmas.
Yep.
For people that don't know what Boxing Day is. But
yeah.
Yes, I saw it at the IMAX. Yeah. And I saw it in 3D.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty cool after I finished. I think there's so much there was so much happening like visually in it that like you can't help but just be amazed by everything. So like initially, when I thought of it, I thought, oh, it was like amazing. Oh my God, 5 out of 5. But then after I sat with it for like a few hours and then the next day and stuff like that, and once like my eyes adjusted to the fact that they just exploded,
yeah.
I think it was a really good movie, but not as amazing as it could have been if maybe the story was a bit more complex or something.
Yeah, it's actually with everyone that I've spoken to, including myself, not that I'm talking to myself, but this is how I feel. It seems to be the ongoing theme about the story just not being as good as it should have been. So,
well,
it's an ongoing
thing. Well, the thing is, like, I didn't really have a problem with the story. Like, people are saying that, oh, it's too much like Pocahontas and it's too much like Svengali or whatever the fuck. Like, I didn't care about that. Like, I thought the story was interesting enough to just do whatever the hell it needed to do for the movie. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't think that the strong point of the movie was
the story.
Like, there wasn't anything about it that was new or that was really amazing. But, you know, it was a decent story. It wasn't, like, I personally didn't think it was a bad story. It was just a very simple story.
It's just more story. Along the lines of being average rather than amazing sort of thing.
Yeah.
It was probably the weaker thing with this film, I would say.
Yeah, and it's, like, so easy to follow. Like, not that that's a bad thing, but it's just, the movie's just, you know,
it's extremely predictable, like, and all that kind of stuff. But it's not really a bad thing because you kind of want it to go in that direction anyway.
Yeah, which is, I didn't have a problem with it. So I haven't really been much of a complainer about, you know, the story not being that great. But I can see why people thought that, because really, if you take away, you know, like the visual effects and the 3D, is it really that amazing? And it's not really, you know, it's a fun movie, but it's not like, you know.
Yeah, I'm struggling to understand the obsessions that people are having with it. I guess, I don't know. It's kind of like how I just don't understand how all these 12-year-old girls are so obsessed with the whole Twilight thing, but I don't know. I suppose I have my obsessions, but it's...
Not only 12-year-old girls, though.
Hey?
I'm obsessed with Twilight.
Yeah, unfortunately. But, I mean, I admit I've got my obsessions, don't get me wrong, but it's just I don't get it. And with Avatar, I just don't get how people are just so like, crazy about it. Like, yes, it's a great movie, the characters are good, the Pandora's great, the species are great, but I don't really need feel the need for, you know, Na'vi porn and that kind of crap that people want, and I'm not going to need therapy because Pandora is not real. It's just a little bit...
People don't... I assume you spoke about this in the other segments, but there's people out there who are seeking therapy because Pandora isn't a real place and apparently they want to be there.
Yeah.
And there's still a bit of a sexual thing happening with Na'vi and people wanting to see them have sex and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's really odd, and people wanting to be them and have sex the way they have sex, like join the hair things and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Yeah, that's a bit... Yeah, it's a bit weird. But you know what I think it is? I think, like, if there was one thing about the story that I guess stood out the most, like, in a really good way for me, was that there was at least, I think they at least, like, put a bit of an emotional part in the story. With the whole nature and the destruction of the society and blah, blah. Like, that stuff was, like, that was, I felt, like, sad when I was watching it. I was like,
yeah,
oh,
it was well done.
Sad, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it was well done. And, like, as I've mentioned it before, but I thought, like, the love story was a lot stronger than what James Cameron had done with Titanic, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I've heard some people say they didn't like the love story, but I thought it worked really well.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mind it, and I thought it was a lot stronger and, you know, worked pretty well. Like, you knew that was obviously that's what was going to happen, but it just worked really well, and there was good chemistry with the two characters.
Yeah, you believe that they liked each other.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. But, I guess, like, I suppose the world that was created is a good, you know, escape from the shit planet and shit that we're living in. But just to get that obsessed with it, that you need therapy, that's just full on, man.
Yeah, well, you hear a lot about dumb people, like people fainting when they went to see New Moon because of the blood, even though there was, like, hardly any in it.
Doesn't she just get, like, a paper cut and they all go stupid over it?
Yeah, and people collapse.
Okay, that's just stupid. So when you saw this at IMAX in 3D, did you feel, like, sick at all with the 3D, or you didn't even notice it?
No, I'm cool with the 3D. I don't really have any issue with, like, IMAX and 3D and stuff like that. Mm. But I did find, like, some, like, the part in the movie where is it Jake Gully? Is that his name?
Gully.
When he learns to fly that thing for the first time. And that was just, like, seeing that on a big screen of 3D, like, I nearly just passed out from just how epic it was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't actually feel sick or anything like that. But
I was sick watching Transformers in IMAX than I did with this.
You saw Transformers?
I saw Transformers 2 at IMAX. And that experience, like, when there were scenes on IMAX scale on the screen, that actually made me feel sick and nauseous just on how big it was, not because of how crap the movie ended up being. But, you know, I felt probably more sickish watching that than I did with this. I didn't feel very sick. I just got a bit of a headache towards the end. But that's about it. Some people get really, really sick with this kind of thing, but it seems like ongoing, like, a lot of people just didn't really have an issue with 3D, so it's good to know, I suppose.
Yeah, no, the 3D was pretty cool. I mean, I've seen other 3D movies at IMAX, and this was definitely the best one, like, quality-wise.
Yeah, well, the whole thing was in 3D as well. At least when you go see it at IMAX. Because I think it's not as, I don't know, I think the experience just seeing it on the normal cinema screen is a lot different. But
I'm curious when I hear people say, like, when they see it in 2D on a normal cinema screen, how much they loved it. Not because I don't think it's a good movie, but I mean, it's made to be a specific type of experience, and if you're not seeing it how it's supposed to be made, I don't really understand how you're getting the entire impact of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the way to see it is IMAX 3D. But, yeah, I mean, if you can't, obviously, and you still want to see the movie, see it normally at the cinema in their 3D or see it in 2D, I guess. There's not much you can do if you can't get to IMAX.
Yeah.
So, like, what other bits did you enjoy about the movie?
I guess my favourite out of the whole thing was the Na'vi princess girl in it. I forgot her name.
Neytiri. I learned it yesterday.
Yeah. But I thought that out of all the actors, even like the real life ones, I thought she was the best one there.
Yeah.
And I think that her character is the one thing that like elevated the script to anything half decent because she was really...
It was a well-written character at least. And she played it and really well. For, you know, someone she had, like, that a was, you know, it's a entirely CG like, character as well.
Yeah, and she had like a lot of passion and a lot of emotion and stuff like, and it was really genuine.
Yeah, it was cool.
So she was pretty cool. Outside of that, though, I guess, I mean, one thing I liked as well, probably all the detail that Cameron put into, like, the world of Pandora.
Yeah.
It sometimes you felt as if, like, you were watching, like, a documentary practically because you just spend so much time just looking at wildlife and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like it's CG. It looks completely real.
Yeah, it looked totally real, and it was so... detailed, like whenever they like walk through the forest or something, you'd just be looking at like 50 different things.
Yeah, and it was so colourful and it was really like pretty.
Yeah.
Like with all the blues and purples and stuff, it was so pretty.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was a good experience, like with all that kind of stuff, because it's not like it's not every day you see a movie that has that much detail and you know everything else that goes with it. I suppose it's no wonder it took him so long to come out with the movie.
Yeah. I think that's probably what really pushes this forward for people is that even though the story may not be that, like, deep or whatever, that the detail is so full on that I think people kind of get that a lot of effort was put into it and they really like that.
Yeah. And, like, do you think that you'll, like, when it comes out on DVD or Blu-ray or whatever, do you think you'll be buying it?
Yeah, I will because I did genuinely like the movie and even if it's not as amazing on a TV screen, I still think that the story itself is cool anyway and there's a scene in that I thought were really impressive. So I'll definitely, like, get it, but I think I'll mainly get it just so I can actually see, like, how they made the movie and how they put it together and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I should hope that we get, like, a really good edition that's got a lot of, like, making of, behind the scenes, all that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah, I want,
really
like,
good
like, a three-hour making-of type thing.
Yeah, there. Like, a really good insight into, you know, pre-production, post, the production and post-production. Like, you get everything.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, I would personally like a James Cameron commentary, but I'm not sure if he would do it or not. He's done commentary on, I think, the Aliens DVD that I've got. He's got commentary on that, and I'm not sure if he did it on any other movies because I'm missing a few of his movies from my collection. I think he might have talked on the Terminator 2 DVD.
I think he did one for Titanic, but it was like the third edition of like the DVD that was like the 10th anniversary, and it was five discs. I think he did on that one.
Yeah, I think that's I've seen that copy, so maybe that there's commentary on that. But I think it'd be interesting, like, to hear him talk about it while you're watching the movie. So that'd be my hope for, you know, an extra on the special edition DVD.
Well, considering he took, like, 10 years to make it, you would assume that if he's that passionate about it, he'd want to talk about it.
Yeah,
so.
Well, hopefully. Like, you know, it's good to, like, watch the movie but listen to the commentary, if it's a good commentary anyway, about, you know, certain things about the movie and certain scenes and all that kind of thing. So that would be, something that I'd like at least on that DVD when it comes out. Because, I'll be getting it as well when it comes out.
Yeah, the special features are the selling point for me, even though I do actually like the movie. But, I don't think it's the type of movie I'd watch, like, 150 times, though. Like, people are saying it's that the movie's, like, five times, I don't know how anyone can really watch
it's
it
like
five
when
times.
It's like when Titanic came out, and I knew people that had seen that, and I'm serious, about 23 times. I just don't, I like, once at the cinema was more than enough for me.
Yeah, I saw it twice, and the second time was just, like, we have nothing to watch, and we're like, hey, let's go see it. But, I don't know, Avatar, I saw it, and I really liked it, and I can't wait to, like, kind of watch the special features and like, experience it again, all that crap, but I don't really feel any urge to, like, run to the cinema and watch it again or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing it at the cinema again, but maybe just regular cinema. And see how that kind of feels like. Still in 3D, but I don't think the 3D is as good as it is in IMAX.
No, it wouldn't be.
Yeah, I mean, it'd just be interesting, like, to see if my feelings change any, if I like it more, like it less, or pick up on things maybe I didn't notice before.
Yeah, well, that's what some people are saying when they've gone to see it a second time, that they picked up on things they didn't before because they know what's going to happen now, so they don't need to focus as much.
Yeah, and did you think that Sam Worthington looked a lot hotter when his hair was longer?
I'm part of the small group who don't really find him all that appealing, although I do think he's like good looking and stuff, but he just doesn't do that much for me. But when he had a beard and when he had his hair growing out, he looked so much better than he did when he had no facial hair and a shaved head.
Yeah, I have to say, I think he's pretty hot, and I was like, yeah, he looks all right. But then when he sort of got his longer hair and stuff, I was like, yeah, he's looking a lot better. Like,
yeah, I liked him with the hair.
Unfortunately, like, you know, being a girl who notices these things, I was just like, you know, if I find someone attractive, that kind of thought process just goes through my mind.
Well, I remember looking at him when the movie first started and thinking, like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, I don't really get it, but whatever. And then when he started growing his hair, I was like, okay, this is more my thing. So
yeah, it looks better. But he was, like, as I said previously, I thought he was really good. And it's good to see, like, an Australian actor who no one really, outside of Australia, had really heard of him until recently, like, being in such a big movie. And
yeah, he's had, like, he's going to have, like, by the time Clash of the Titans comes out, he would have had Terminator, Avatar, and Clash of the Titans. Like, that's three pretty big movies like, for a nobody, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, he just pretty much came out of nowhere for, like, the international audience, because we've seen him in movies and TV and stuff for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always enjoyed his work. So it's good to see, like, someone talented, because I think he's very talented, like, to get such a good opportunity. Which is cool.
Yeah, I think the studio are trying to make him they're actually trying to make him like a big like superstar, because he's had all these random projects that are like put together for like no reason. Like, I don't know why they would have cast him in all this stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like there's the weird talk about putting him as like Captain America, and it's like, but he's Australian and his American accent is too Australian.
I don't think he'd work as Captain America. I saw him on a talk show like 2 weeks ago, and he's such a bogan when he talks. Like, I know. Full Aussie.
He's full Aussie. Like, I mean, I mentioned it before, like in the other segments, just like in this movie, you could like still tell he's got an Australian accent. Like, it wasn't as bad as it was in Terminator, but you could still hear it. But I think maybe being Australian that we can pick up on it more.
Yeah,
but he did a pretty good job overall.
Yeah, no, he was good in it. He was good in it.
He was good in it. we'll have some Aussie beers for him, like, later.
it was good for like for what he had to do. It was good, you know what I mean? Mm. But for me, I just always think that that chick in it was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, she was definitely the best one. Hands down.
Yeah, like I would watch. I really want to see it again just because I think any scene that she was in was really cool.
Yeah, and like from when she first shows up to everything, like it all just really worked. Like you really just get engaged in the character.
Yeah, like when the movie first started, I think it was like the first 30 minutes, like before he gets to Pandora, and I was like enjoying it. I was like, yeah, whatever. And it wasn't like impressing me or anything. I was just like, okay. And then once those two met, like once he met Chick, then it really became interesting. I was like, okay, then it's just getting better and better and better. And then it was really cool.
It kind of like, it took a bit of like getting used to, like when they go on Pandora and you see the actual, the Na'vi, and then you see the humans, and the Na'vi are like 10 times the size. And when you see them, like, next to people, it's just like, whoa, this is really weird. It's just like, oh. It's like the scene, which I actually thought was really well done, because in the movie, the character of Jake, as a human, he's what's the right word? A paraplegic?
Paraplegic.
I couldn't think of the word. So, you know, he got injured and he can't walk. But when he's, like, in the Avatar, he can walk, he can do whatever he wants, and he's got all this bodily freedom. So when he actually first was in the Avatar and he's like moving around, getting up, and he starts running, I mean, that was really well done. It was kind of like really emotional, like you felt his freedom of, you know, being able to actually move again.
Because yeah, that was the first time in the movie where I was like, oh, wow, this is really cool. Because yeah. like,
I think you could feel his, how down he was about not being able to move.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, when there's been other movies with characters in that situation, sometimes it's not portrayed as well, but I just think that he did such a good job of getting that across in just the way he moved and his facial expressions and all that kind of thing. Like, you could kind of feel what he was feeling, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's, like, why people are so impressed with the effects, because when, like, with that scene, he's in avatar form, so it's not really Sam Worthington. It's like, you know, like, computer-generated character that he was, like, talking through, whatever.
Yeah.
And then with the scenes that he shares with the princess chick, I mean, those were all digital as well. So for digital scenes to actually be so good that you, like, can actually convey emotion, do you know what I mean? Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, like, I think, I mean, I'm not sure how they would have done it, so this is where we have to wait for the making of, but I think they've used, like, the actors' faces and all that kind of thing and their movements to do the characters, so...
Yeah.
But just the way that it seemed to have all come together just worked really well. And, you know, the actual, like, Na'vi species, they're just really cool, like, looking, like, species.
Yeah, they look cool.
They look really cool and... You know, there's so much detail in, you know, like their skin and their color and everything like that. So it's really
cool. There was always something to look at.
Yeah, it was like, you know, I don't think like you could really get bored watching the movie because there's always something going on, whether it's part of the story or just visually or something. Like, it's always kind of got your attention, I suppose, is the right word?
Yeah.
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 So what did you give it out of 5? Did you give it 4 out of 5?
I gave it a 4 out of 5, and I doubt it would. I doubt it would get any smaller than that, because I think it is, like, without the effects and shit, I think it's still a pretty, like, fun, decent action movie. So I would give it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, that was my score as well. Did it make, like, did you your top 10 of last year? Did it make it to that list?
It did. It came in at number 3, I think it was.
Mine, it was number 6, I think.
Yeah, mine got to 3 because I actually, like, just because of the actual experience of it, like, it was something different to everything else that I saw that year. But if I didn't see it in 3D, it probably would have been, like, number 5 or 6 or something like that.
Yeah, but, I mean, I actually got more out of, just as a whole, with some other movies, whereas, you know, this one, you know, it had its flaws and stuff, but it was, you know, it's one of the best cinematic experiences, but... Other movies kind of engaged me more with their story and everything like that. It was more of a total package. Whereas, you know, this one, that was kind of the weak link, but it didn't actually, like, ruin the movie for me or anything.
No, I agree.
But I think it was better to kind of go into this just without having any real expectations, just to go in not really expecting this or that or what anyone else has said, like, it's just better to go in with a clear head and just sit and watch the movie and enjoy it for yourself and not think about, oh, people said this was bad or people said it was really good or it's the best thing ever. I think it's just best just to go in clear head.
Yeah.
And
I never thought it looked, like, amazing anyway. Like, I thought, oh, this looks pretty cool, whatever. But I wasn't, like, dying to see it or, like, I was excited to see it because there was so much buzz around it. But I didn't know what to expect. I would, like, just like it and it would be, like, cool. But I did like it a bit more than I expected.
Yeah, me too, because, like, the trailers didn't actually blow me away or anything. I just thought, oh, this is kind of pretty average. But, you know, it was good to be pleasantly surprised with the movie.
So, yeah, there was probably about 2 or 3 times in the movie where I actually thought it was, like specific scenes where I thought, this is, like, really, really cool.
Yeah.
And those were the scenes that made me kind of like it more than I would have. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. So, I think we've probably covered everything we need to cover. So that's that'd be a wrap for the final round of the Avatar discussion. And a wrap for my episode of the podcast. So, I'm sure you'll join me again sometime in the future for another podcast. And who knows what we'll talk about. But, you will be back, as the Terminator says. I'll be back. My terrible Arnold impersonation. So yes. Well, I hope whoever's listening enjoyed the super podcast and liked what we had to say, and if they disliked it, that's their bad luck.
Yeah.
So until next time, I've been Marcy, you've been Stephen, and we've been cool.
Bye bye.
Bye.
The concept is to drive these remotely controlled bodies called avatars. They're grown from human DNA mixed with DNA of the natives.
A marine in an avatar body. That's a potent mix.
You get me what I need, I'll see to it you get your legs back. Your real legs.
Hell yeah, sir.
Looks like you. This is your avatar.
Just relax and let your mind go blank. It shouldn't be hard for you.
Simple. I want you to learn from the inside. I want you to gain their trust.
You should not be here. Go back. All this is your fault.
I need your help.
Lost in the woods, have you?
Did you forget what team you're playing for? Strong, prey on the weak. Nobody does a thing.
You got 1 hour.
You knew this would happen?
Everything changed.
Jake, it's crazy here. Quaritch is rolling and there's no stopping him.
We're going up against gunships with bows and arrows.
I guess we better stop him.